your word tonight, which is truth. Thank you, Lord, for a midweek meal. We need the milk of your word, the meat of your word, and the manna that comes from heaven. And we get that every time we open this precious book called the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us today. And every word, every jotted, or every yacht, every tittle, every cross T and dotted I is given from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Last couple of weeks, your word has been telling us that he who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And it's up to us to be attentive, to have ears to hear, have eyes to see what the person of the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, both individually as well as corporately as a body of Christ. So teach us tonight, Lord. You be the teacher. You're the good shepherd. Your sheep hear your voice. And so we commit this time to you this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I like to lay a little background when I start a chapter, be it Sunday morning or Wednesday night, because sometimes people miss a previous chapter or two, and so I like to kind of bring us up to speed to where we are and how we got here to chapter 17. At the close of chapter 16 last week, we read about this king by the name of Ahab, the son of Omri, who reigned over Israel for 22 years, and that he did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all of the kings who were before him. Israel, northern kingdom, southern kingdom were a mess, consumed by idolatry, sexual immorality, and they had literally turned their back on God. That's what happens to any nation that turns their back on God. And one of the evidences, sexual immorality, idolatry, ungodliness, calling good evil and evil good. And lo and behold, that's what we see in the United States of America today. Because many people have turned their back on God. And not only that, there are many churches today, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, there are many churches that are compromising today, compromising with the Word of God. This is His Word. This is His book. We don't tamper with it. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We profess the name of Jesus Christ here, and we preach His Word. And that is so important today, especially in the times in which we live. And as we've seen with Israel, for 300 years, they had evil kings. They had 40 kings, and only 4 out of 40 were good kings. And we find that in the political system all over the world today. I've been trying to think this week, if I could think of one nation that is led by a born-again Christian leader in the world today, a godly leader, a leader that obeys God's commands and enforces the Word of God and stands on God's Word. And so here we find tonight one that did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all of the kings who were before him. That's incredible. And the people still followed him. Israel did. They turned their backs on God, and they were following this guy, Ahab. Ahab took for himself a wife by the name of Jezebel. That's a popular name even to this very day. Jezebel. She was a zealous worshiper of the pagan god Baal. And Jezebel caused Ahab to worship Baal, even to the point that he built an altar to Baal in the temple in Samaria. How sad. Ahab had even built a wooden image to Asherah. She was a Canaanite fertility goddess. I'm not going to go into in-depth on the term there, fertility goddess. We know what that means. Sexual perversion, sexual immorality. Her temple was filled with prostitutes. Yeah. That's how they went out and evangelized, through prostitution. Amazing. And he, Ahab, did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the evil kings of Israel who were before him. And to me, that's a dangerous thing. That scares me to read that terminology, to provoke the Lord to anger. We're going to see here tonight that it comes to the place in Israel where God has to bring judgment. I have to wonder how long it's going to be before God brings judgment on America. And he can do it in many ways. Tonight we're going to see how he will bring a drought upon Israel. No rain. I got a taste of this week. Just a tiny little taste. We're spoiled. And oftentimes we don't know how spoiled we really, really are. Until Monday, Tina and I are sitting at home and the power went out. No one warned us. It was unexpected. And it is amazing how helpless you feel. You ever been there? When the power goes out, everything is off. Not only that, this week, the bank froze my debit card. They said someone was trying to hack our account. And again, it's a helpless feeling not to be able to draw any money out of the bank when you have your money in the bank and you can't draw it out. And look at all of the things in our world today that we kind of take for granted, that all of a sudden, if it shuts down, we're in major, major trouble. And so tonight, it's the last straw. Here now in chapter 17, God brings his prophet by the name of Elijah, the Tishbite, on the scene to confront Ahab. How'd you like that job? The most evil, wicked king that Israel had ever had. And God tells Elijah to go and to confront him. Elijah is the first in a long line of prophets that God sends to Israel and to Judah, the northern and southern kingdom. Israel, the northern kingdom, didn't even have one faithful king throughout its history. The only four faithful kings that we saw were from the southern kingdom. Even the priests which they appointed were corrupt. They were perverse. With no kings or priests to bring God's word to the people, God will now send prophets to try to rescue Israel. Isn't that just like God? God is love. He loved Israel. He even loved Ahab and Jezebel. And he's making every effort that he can to reach them. That's why I pray for our politicians every day. God, reach them. Break through the darkness. Break through their stony hearts and save their souls from destruction. And I know a lot of Christians that don't do that. I hear them call them all sorts of names. And my Bible tells me, red letters, Jesus said, call no man a fool. We're not to call anyone a fool. We have to be very, very careful with the terminology that we use. I look at those that the world labels as fools, as candidates for the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because God saved this fool from destruction. And I'm headed for the kingdom of heaven because of the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And I think it's so important that we step back and take a look at what God commands us to do as his children. We are to represent the God of love with love. Love our Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love our neighbor as ourselves. And we are to love our enemies. We're not to love what they do, but we're to love their souls and make an effort to reach them with the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here we see, with no kings or priests to bring God's word to the people, God's going to send prophets now. And the first one here we see in the first verse is Elijah the Tishbite. Amazing, isn't it, that he's trying to rescue Israel from its moral and spiritual deception, decline, for the next 300 years. Verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my words. Whoa, that's pretty heavy. We know nothing about Elijah's background, only that he was a Tishbite, as we see here, from Gilead. But we do see in the future how God uses this prophet in an incredible way. You remember when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus? Who was there when Jesus turned as white as snow and he glowed? Moses, and Elijah. Amazing. There they were in their glorified bodies on the Mount of Transfiguration thousands of years later. In chapter 11 of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we see two witnesses that are martyred, I believe. This is my own person. I'm not saying this is what the Bible says, but my own personal belief is it could very well be Moses and Elijah there that will be martyred, and the whole world is going to see not only their death, but they're going to come back to life again. That's in the end times. And guess what? When that was written by John in the Revelation of Jesus Christ, there was no way that the whole world could see these two men. But guess what? Today we can. I guarantee you, most of us sitting in this room have a cell phone. And if something happens in Israel, like the two martyrs, and it goes out on the news, we can all just pick it up right here, right now. Television set, laptop, cell phone. And for the first time, I believe, in the history of mankind, we can see exactly what's going on in Israel. Keep your eyes on Israel. America's not even included in prophecy, but Israel is. You need to watch them. And so here we see in verse 1, Elijah confronting Ahab. Those who worship Baal believe that Baal was the god of rain and harvest. So guess what God does? Puts a stop on the rain. God is able, more than able, to check us up with whatever idols we have on the thrones of our heart, whatever they might be. We've been talking about that a lot lately. We worship what is seated on the throne of our hearts, and we have to be very careful that it's only Jesus Christ that has taken his rightful place on the throne of our hearts. And constantly we have to kick things off because the world out there and the flesh and the devil is continually trying to get us to go after things through temptation. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to pray, lead us not into temptation. We need to pray that every day because the enemy is out there with this huge tackle box with all these lures, and he knows exactly what lure it is that we will go for. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, whatever it might be. And so look what God does. Elijah walks right into the presence of this wicked king, and he tells him there's not going to be any rain until he brings the word. And he will bring the word from God when the rain comes again, proving that the Lord God of Israel has more power than any pagan god. There's only one God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in three persons, Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God will use a severe drought to get the people's attention. No dew, imagine that. No rain until I say so, says the Lord. And you know, I'm always thinking, I always try to read between the lines and think, what would it take to get America's attention? Tom was talking, or somebody was talking yesterday, Tom or Rich, that in the world right now there's 10 active volcanoes. And one of the signs of the end times is earthquakes. Volcanoes cause earthquakes. They say that the one that is in Yellowstone National Park can devastate the United States of America should it go off. Yeah. We need to be ready. Jesus said in the last times there would be earthquakes in diverse places. There would be pestilence. You know what pestilence is? People think pestilence is pests, bugs. No. It's incurable diseases. I believe COVID is one of them. I believe this is just the beginning of contractions from what we see. And the next one comes along. They're more intense and they're closer together. There would be wars and rumors of wars. There was a rumor today that China and the Soviet Union were going to invade the Ukraine. I don't know what's going on there right now. But also that Russia, the Soviet Union, and China and Iran are doing war games out on the ocean now, making preparation for attacking someone, and I know exactly who that's going to be, according to God's word. Israel is surrounded by her enemies. Everything is set in place. The third temple, all the artifacts in the third temple, all the priests have been measured for the robes in the third temple, ready for Antichrist. It is just absolutely amazing, but yet I pick up the paper, turn on the news, and nobody's even talking about it. But where does God have us today? In his word. He's saying, wake up, have ears to hear. The return of Jesus Christ is sooner than we think. We have to be ready. But what's it going to take for America, for God to get our attention? What could it be? Food shortage? Have you ever noticed recently how everything in the markets is, the shelves are bare in a lot of places? And in the clothing stores, and I was looking the other day for a shirt, and Kohl's, I go, shelves are empty. And what happens when people find out that there's going to be a shortage of something? They go out and they covet it all. They buy it all up. We saw that with toilet paper. Hello? Man, you see the heart of man? It's all about me. Forget you. It's all about me. And people load up. And so here we see Elijah's God's mouthpiece. And you know what? I believe today that the pastors in the pulpits also need to be God's mouthpiece. We need to preach God's word as it is written. We need to have the people check up. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have eyes to see? You know, the Lord is coming for a bride that's pure. Right before the rapture of the church, Paul preaches on purity. A lot of people don't even know that. Just before he speaks on the rapture of the church, he talks about the bride being pure, without spot or blemish. God's mouthpiece, God's word. Elijah is God's instrument to bring this adulterous, immoral, evil, idolatrous Israel to her knees. And God can do it, can't he? Oh, he can come up with a million different ways to do it. And God is able to do so even today. And so as we'll see, Elijah was used by God to bring a drought, no rain, not even any dew. And we're going to see next week where he's even going to call fire out of heaven. Man, this guy was open to God's word and God's direction and being used as an instrument of God. And that's exactly what he was, an instrument of God. And Elijah delivers God's message. Then God calls him away to the brick Kerith is the term, near the Jordan River. Look at verse 2. Then the word of the Lord, and hide by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land, just like God had told him. And so here in verses 2 to 7, in his continued obedience to God, Elijah had ears to hear. Not only that, whatever God told him to do, he never questioned it, and he stepped out by faith, and he went and did according to God's word. And that's a lesson for you and I. We may not be prophets, but you know what? We are the children of God, and we are to walk in obedience to God's word. When God tells us something from his word, we're to do it. Long before Nike, God was saying, just do it. And it's so important for you and I to obey God's word, especially in the times in which we live. We need to be obedient. And every time I read this story about the ravens bringing bread and meat to Elijah, I think, man, I really believe with all of my heart that if we come to a place where there's no food in America, somehow, some way, God's going to get food, nourishment to you and I as his kids. I don't know if it'll be a raven. Imagine that, a raven bringing you bread or meat. I'd probably go, dude, what? You took a bite out of my bread, dude. What's going on here? No, I probably wouldn't, but imagine a raven bringing you bread and meat from the Lord. He's Jehovah Jireh. And we can honestly say every single one of us, some of us over the years, over Tina and I's 40 years since we came to know the Lord, we've been through some difficult times, but you know what? God saw us through every single one. Even to the point, and I think I've shared this before, in Vermont, just beginning ministry. Went to the cupboard. All we had was flour. We had water, opened the fridge. No food. But guess what? I went out to the mailbox, and there was a check. And there was a note that said, I don't know why, but the Lord had me send this to you. And guess what? We had steak that night. Thank you, Jesus. We've never had to beg for one penny. We've never had to strive. You never even have to worry when you belong to Jehovah Jireh. That's so important to know, and here we see how important that is. Do what God tells you to do, and he will take care of you. And so here he leaves Ahab in Samaria, and he heads for the brook Kerith. And there by the brook, the Lord's provided food for him, morning and evening by the ravens. And imagine what that must have been like. Wow. That God would use crows to bring your food. I just can't imagine what that's like. But God provides in many different ways, doesn't he? And you look all through Scripture, Genesis 1:1, all to the back of the book, at the many times and the many instances where God has made provision for his people. Look what he did with Israel in the wilderness. Even in their rebellion, they turned an 11-day journey into a 40-year mess. But yet God provided manna from heaven. He provided quail. And some of them were so greedy they ate it till it came out of their nostrils. He provided water from the rock. And then you look where Jesus broke the bread in the New Testament and he fed 5,000 men, and also there were women and children there, from a few fishes and loaves from some little kid that just had a basket of food there. So God will take care of you. Don't sweat it. Don't compromise your faith when you come to a place where you have to wait for Jehovah Jireh to provide for you. He will do it. He's got a pretty good track record, would you say? He really does. And so sections like this really encourage me because I know God is going to take care of me, whichever way he chooses. But you know the neat thing about this? When he does these things supernaturally in a way that you never, ever, ever thought he could do, you know what that does? That strengthens your faith. You can see God. But when you rely on the MasterCard instead of the Master, that does not strengthen your faith. Then you find yourself praying, Lord, help me to pay this bill that just came in, you know? Rely on the Master and not the MasterCard. I'm telling you, because things are going to get tough. I really believe that with all of my heart. And so Ahab, in verse 7, notice. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And it came to pass. And again, here in verse 8, the word of the Lord's going to come to Elijah again. And guess what? He's going to obey again. Look at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so Elijah said, but Lord, now did you read that there? You didn't, because it's not there. We never find Elijah questioning the Lord. But oftentimes I hear Christians questioning the Lord. But Lord, if God tells you to do something, do it. And so look what he does. He arose and went to Zarephath, just as God had told him. And if you really want to stay in God's will and God's way, we need to obey his word. Do what he says. He knows best. He really does. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for your family. And he knows what's best for the family of God. He's going to take care of us. And so he says, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there. Gee, what a coincidence. Gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, please, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I circled that word your, because she didn't say the Lord my God. She was a Gentile, this widow. She was an unbeliever at this particular time. But you know what really blows me away? Is that God is going to show his love to her through the prophet Elijah. God was showing his love to Israel. They turned their back on him. And guess what? God is now going to show his love to this Gentile unbeliever, this widow in Zarephath. And you know what this shows me, and I think this is important for all of us today as believers, we need to show the love of God to the lost. We really do. Is there anybody here that was beaten into the kingdom of heaven? We were loved to life, not beaten to death. If there was any beating going on, I know personally, I did it myself. I was beating myself up with sin. And it was the goodness of God, which the Bible says, that draws us to repentance. It was God's love and grace and mercy that drew me to my knees. And I think it's so important that we love the lost out there. Usually on Tuesday night when there's a ladies' study, the guys whose wives are at the study go out to dinner. And we went last night, four of us. And we walked into the restaurant. And all of a sudden these two young men came in. I won't describe them to you, but you could tell the lifestyle that they were living. They both had false eyelashes, cutesy little hats with flowers, bunch of earrings, and high heels. Men. And guess what? We were challenged by what we were going to do. One of the men at our table went to refill his drink at the fountain. And on his way back, he told them that Jesus Christ loved them, and so do I. I love you as well. And he came back to the table. That is what God calls us to do with the lost. To love them to life. To share the good news. Because I'm sure in their daily life, they get beat up in a lot of places that they go. And unfortunately, oftentimes that beating comes from people that profess to be Christians. God wants us to love the lost. God wants us to love our enemies. And we had a discussion at the table, and one of the things that came up is, you know what? A lot of these kids that are living these messed up lifestyles, I don't have to give you the dirty details, but a lot of them have been damaged in their childhood through rape and molestation and all sorts of stuff. We don't know where they have been, and it's not up to us to judge where they've been. It's up to us to point them to the kingdom of heaven and point them to Jesus Christ, the lover of all of our souls. There is not a person here that's worthy of the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, and there's not a person here that's worthy of heaven. We all deserve to be damned and go to hell. And that's what the Bible says. And I'm not cussing. Damnation is right out of Scripture. It's separation from holy God. And so here we see. It's amazing, isn't it? This poor little widow. And here Elijah, you know, asks her to bring a drink and a morsel of bread. And you know what she says? Look at verse 12. As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, look at this. This is so sad. I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Things were that bad. This was like her last meal with the last bit of flour and oil that she had for her and her precious son. Didn't that blow you away? And you know what? We personally don't know where a lot of these people are in their lives when God brings them across our path. Some of them may be on the verge of suicide. Some of them may be close to their last heartbeat. Some of them may be close to getting run over by a car, and that's not too hard today. We don't know where they're at. The clock is ticking for every one of us. Every one of us has an appointment with God. And I think it is so important to have a broken heart for the lost and be filled with the compassion that Jesus Christ showed everyone that he came into contact with. Yeah. You know who Jesus rebuked? You know. The religious hypocrites. You know who he had compassion on? He was at the well. He said to a prostitute who had been married five times, was living with a boyfriend, give me a drink. Yeah, he shared the living water with her. And you know what she did? She went into town and brought the whole town out and said, come meet the man that told me all about myself. Isn't that amazing? That's the heart of God. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. That's the heart you and I should have. That's the heart he has given to you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's see what Elijah does. He's probably going to rebuke her. Oh, you old bag. You won't share your food with me? No, I doubt it. Watch this. Look at this. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. He's quoting God. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, which, by the way, was the word of the Lord. And she and he and her household ate for many days. You see how God works? The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. When God uses us, which he wants to do every single day, when God uses us, when we obey his word, he always provides for us, always. And again, when the disciples took the fishes and the loaves, they were breaking them, and they couldn't pass out the fish and the bread fast enough. The faster they broke it, the faster they were passing out to the 5,000 men and women and children that were with them. And that's the way God works. He has saved you and I and put us in a ministry today to be a distributor of his resources. Because everything that we have comes from God. You know, I've noticed over the years too, the faster I give it out, the faster God provides more. You ever notice how that works? It is amazing. But you know what? When we covet things and keep it to ourselves, guess what? It dries up and gets moldy and stale. And the same thing can happen to your walk with the Lord. It can dry up and get moldy and stale. If we're not open to the leading of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when God brings people across our path to minister to them. What did Jesus say? When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And that's what God has called you and I to do. And again, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, and he has ears to hear. Go to Zarephath. Dwell there. I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Look how God works. He had it all prepared in advance. And you know what? When God calls you to do something, he's got the whole thing prepared. Everything. And he just wants you and I to obey and to step out by faith. God is working in both ends of the situation. You know, when we bring some, when we have contact with someone during the day and are able to minister and to share the gospel with them maybe, or tell them about Jesus, you just may be the answer to someone's prayer. Yeah. One time I was playing golf years ago, and a cart guy came out to clean off the clubs and to help us with our golf bag. And the subject of Jesus Christ came up. And I began to minister to this kid as he was cleaning our clubs. And the tears began to stream down his face. And he said to me, I'm a pastor's son. And I'm in a backslidden condition. And I want to thank you for ministering to me today. I was an answer to the pastor's prayer. And when you and I have the opportunity to minister to people, I guarantee you, you are the answer to someone's prayer. How many times do we pray, Lord, please send someone across their path? Because there's a lot of people that are out of our range, friends, relatives, loved ones, even our enemies. We have to pray. You know my situation with my brother. Prayed for him for 27 years. Lord, send someone across his path. And a guy he was working with came and shared the gospel and led him to Christ. Pray for laborers to cross their path. It is so, so important. And this widow here, who knows who was praying for her? Who knows what her situation was? But Elijah obeys God, and he goes, and he dwells there, and God's working at both ends of the situation. And without question, without hesitation, Elijah goes to Zarephath in this prearranged situation to this Gentile widow who takes care of him. Amazing. At the same time, look what happens. Initially, she hesitates. Being a Gentile unbeliever, Elijah calls to her for a cup of water and a morsel of bread. And she refers to the Lord as his God. Notice, your God, she says in verse 12. Not her own. But I believe with what happens here and the next situation in the next section of our chapter that she is going to become a believer because of the love and the grace and the mercy that Elijah is going to show to her and to her son. Love never fails, does it? That's what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love never fails. And we can preach to people till we're blue in the face, but you know what? Our actions speak louder than words. How many times have you heard me say, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words? Love never fails. I think it's so important that we get checked up as the church, as the body of Christ, and we ask God to fill us overflowing with his unconditional love for people. And I guarantee you, that day that you pray that prayer, God's going to bring someone across your path. And you're going to leave doing a happy dance. You ever had that happen? Man, I just leave kicking my heels. Woo! And at my age, it's hard to do that anymore. But when God ministers, I get blessed, I kick my heels up. And it is understandable from a human perspective that there was not enough flour or oil to give a cake to Elijah. God knew that in advance. I don't think Elijah did, but the woman did. And she was gathering sticks to make a fire to go and make one last meal for her and her son before they die. But here, when Elijah shares with her that the Lord God of Israel would provide and the flour won't run out, nor will the oil run out, this was a test of her faith. Was she going to believe what the Lord says through Elijah? This was a test of her faith. After all, what she had was only enough from a human perspective. And that's one of our problems today. We look at every situation from a human perspective. You know, we limit God to what he can do. How sad. My Bible tells me, with God, all things are possible. And nothing is impossible. Do you really believe that? I believe that with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. With God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. And you know what? If you take a step of faith, step out by faith to do something for God where it's humanly impossible, you're going to get blown away when you see the hand of God in your life. Guaranteed. They were that poor. It was all they had left. And again, in verses 13 and 14, her faith is tested. Notice, and Elijah said, do not fear. Go and do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first. Right after she said, I'm going to go make a little cake. My son and I were going to die. And what does he say? No, go make a small cake. Bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Now here, she has a choice, doesn't she? Thinking, this guy's crazy, I'm out of here. This guy's had too much religion. This guy's been spending too much time at the communion table. You know? But notice what she does. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. She was tested too. By faith, to obey. What's she going to do? Is she going to trust God's prophet, trust God's word, take a step of faith? And by faith, she trusts the Lord. And by faith, she trusts the word of Elijah, which came from the Lord, the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Look at verse 15 and 16 again. And she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Wow. Look what the Lord does, even with a Gentile unbeliever. She listened to God's, the man of God. That's where the title came from. She listened to the man of God who brought forth as a prophet the word of God. And she takes what little she has and she's actually giving it to the Lord, because that's the Lord's prophet there. When we, by faith, put God first, trust God at his word, we never lack in the necessities of life. Never, never, ever. I have found over the years, then, maybe God didn't do what I prayed my way. Sometimes we pray and tell God how to do it. But you know what? Many times I just leave it open-ended. Your will be done, not mine. And God will answer that prayer and do it his way. And here we see her bin of flour, her jar of oil never ran out, according to the word of the Lord, what she spoke to Elijah. Imagine that. I wonder what that looked like. Every day go and the bin is full of flour. She didn't have to check her oil every day. It was full. And Jesus even makes mention of her in the Gospel of Luke. Did you know that Luke 4:26, Jesus speaks of the widow of Zarephath? Isn't that incredible? This woman had no idea that thousands of years later, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, would be talking about her as an example of faith. And during this drought, even to this day, look at how the Lord provides in the most miraculous ways. And what I found over the years, be it personally or corporately, is there are many people that say, I wish I could see the hand of God. Well, if you really want to see the hand of God, you have to step up by faith and obey his word and not look at the surrounding circumstances, but keep your eyes fixed on the Lord and he will blow you away. You know, what would our Christian life be today if we were never tested? I look back again in the rearview mirror, and I'm sure you do as well, and see the times that we have really, really grown were the times when things were humanly impossible, thinking this is never going to happen. And if we were never tested, we really at times would not witness the hand of the Lord. He wants to manifest himself on our behalf. He will show you personally who he is, but we have to walk by faith. Maybe someday you'll get some bread from a raven. I don't know. But here we see through a destitute Gentile woman that God revealed himself. And you know what? We need to have a broken heart for destitute people. I guarantee you every one of us in this room knows somebody that's destitute or of someone that's destitute, someone that's really, really hurting, especially over the past couple of years. And you know what's going on back in the palace with Mr. Ahab? He's struggling. No telling what's going on back in the palace with God's people, Israel, who are caught up in all sorts of sin. He's struggling, but here we see this widow, this Gentile widow, has an abundance because she believed God at his word by taking the last bit of flour and the last bit of oil she had and making a cake for God's prophet. God's prophet had all that he needed. It's amazing. And yet Ahab, he's back struggling. It doesn't tell us what was going on back in the palace, but I'm sure he was a mess. Here we see God's child, God's family. And when we obey God at his word, no matter what the circumstances may look like, we will always have our needs met. Always. And I guarantee you, I say this all the time. You can ask my wife. God has never, never, ever let me down. Never. He has never disappointed me. Have there been times when I've kind of told him what I needed or how to do it? Oh, yeah. And there have been times that he hasn't answered the prayer my way, but then he turns around and does it his way, and I'm on my knees going, Lord, forgive me for being a knucklehead again and trying to tell you, the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, what to do and how to do it. Isn't that kind of dumb? We're little puffs of clay. We're dust and little puff of dust telling God what to do. God will always meet your needs, guaranteed 100% all of the time. He just wants you to walk by faith and obey his word. And God's blessings are not over for this precious little Gentile widow. The best is yet to come. And again, sometimes it's in the most difficult, sometimes it's in the darkest times of life that we can clearly see the hand of God. Can anybody relate to that? Yes, I look back at some of the most difficult, darkest times in my Christian life. And that has been when I have seen the hand of the Lord most clearly. And he always comes through. And when the widow of Zarephath met Elijah, she thought it was over. Okay, I got the bin full of flour now. I got the oil. It's cool now. I'll just live happily ever after, right? Uh-uh. Here, she's going to think it's over. But watch what happens. Sometimes miracles seem so out of reach that we just have to walk by faith. And here's another test for this precious little Gentile widow. And a greater miracle. Watch this, verse 17. Now it happened, after these things, that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. He was dead. Wow. Earlier in the chapter, we saw that she thought he was going to die because it was her last meal, that would die together. And all of a sudden, she's got an abundance of flour, abundance of oil. And now all of a sudden, here we see that her son became sick and the sickness was so serious that he was dead. There was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" That's the way a lot of people think today, unfortunately. When something bad happens in their life, they think that God is punishing them. It is true in some cases, but not all. Again, God is going to manifest himself on her behalf in an incredible way. He really is. Watch this. And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room in the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth." I have to believe that she became a believer. She believed he was a man of God, and she believed God at his word, the truth. Man. And look what we see here. You know, whenever God does a miracle in our lives, that doesn't mean our troubles are over. I've seen miraculous things and all of a sudden turn around the next day and something happens that rocks your Richter scale. Yes, the famine was terrible and it's over, but not the testing of this poor little widow and her son. The testing continues. All that she had was stricken with a serious illness, her son, and he died. We don't know what happened to her husband, how he died, how long ago it was. But all she really had to cleave to was her precious son. And he died. Immediately, they'll notice here, as many do to this day, she thought that the reason for his death was because of her sin, which is not the case here, as we see. The enemy will put a guilt trip on friends and relatives and loved ones and parents that lose a loved one. "Ah, it's because of your sin." Oh, yeah, God's punishing you. And you know what? That's not always the case. Nope. God is trying to get this woman's attention, and he's done it in a number of ways here. And here, Elijah is going to show this precious Gentile widow woman the hand of God by her seeing her son being raised from the dead. And when I think about that, you know me, like I said, I read between the lines. You and I, when we leave this building, we'll go out into an area, California, Southern California, where we will come across hundreds and thousands of people that are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. And God has given us the words of eternal life. Do you know that? He has given to you and I the words of eternal life. He has given us his love, his grace, and his mercy. And he wants you and I to go outside of these doors and share the love of Jesus Christ so that these people can come to life spiritually. I did a face in the book again for Facebook. It's my Devo that I do. And it had to do with just that. That people out there have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear the things of God. And it's only when you and I become born again that we become spiritually alive and we can hear the voice of God, we can see the hand of God in our lives. And we need to recognize that. That's why at times we share the love of Jesus Christ with people and they look at you like a deer in the headlights. And you walk away going, what's the matter with that person? Man, yeah, they're spiritually dead, just like you were and just like I was. Could not understand the things of God. But if we also look back, there were times when every one of us through our life had seed planted in our lives along the way from Christian people that we knew, that we observed. Plant a little seed here, little seed there, some plant, some water, but the Lord brings forth the growth. And so all you and I can do, hopefully, is just go out and plant that seed and water that seed that someone else maybe had planted before you had. And God will bring forth the growth. And we're going to get to heaven one day. And I believe we're going to see a lot of the people that along the way, way back, were instrumental in pointing us to the Lord and Savior of our lives. And I think it's so important for you and I to share the love of Christ. Again, you don't have to preach at him. Minister to him. You know, I remember years ago, before, you know, this country became so crazy. If you saw somebody with a flat tire, you'd pull over and help them change it. Or if you saw somebody out of gas, you'd pull over and let them know you're going to go get a gas can filled with gas for them. But today, it's absolutely insane. Tina and I were talking about it tonight. You pull up next to somebody at a stoplight and the windows are black. You can't even see who it is. Not only that, a lot of times they won't even pull up next to you. It's crazy. People are living in such fear today. And along with that, that should encourage you and I to minister to the people that we see in need along the way. And that's exactly what happened here with Elijah and this poor little widow. He ministers to her. He says, give me your son. And he carries the body of this boy upstairs. I wonder what mom was thinking. She was thinking that the reason he died was because of her sin. And there he probably leaves her weeping downstairs, just crushed because her son is gone. So she thought. And Elijah says, give me your son. And he carries the boy's body upstairs. And what does he do? Just what you and I need to do with lost people. We don't have to do it out loud and physically cry out to the Lord. But you know what? Every time you and I have a chance to minister to someone, our heart cry should be, Lord, save this person. Lord, bring them to you somehow, some way. And Elijah cries out to the Lord, oh, Lord, let this boy's soul come back to him. And our cry can be, oh, Lord, save this person's soul. Save their soul, Lord. And guess what? The Lord heard his cry. And do you believe that when you cry out to the Lord, that he hears your cry? I do. I believe that God hears every prayer. Why? Because my Bible tells me, we're going to see that in the book of Revelation, that every one of your prayers and my prayers, he has in golden bowls in heaven. Isn't that amazing? I remember in the military, guys would get love letters from their girlfriends and they'd keep them with a big rubber band around them. You know, all these letters, love letters they would get. Every one of your prayers is a love letter to God. And he has them in golden bowls in heaven. Every single prayer. Even some of my little ones like, help! In a golden bowl in heaven. Not only that, he loves you and I so much. He has such an intimate relationship with you and I. The Bible also tells us that he has every one of your tears in heaven, in jars in heaven. Every one of your tears God has in heaven. And here we see Elijah crying out. And the soul of the child, it says, comes back to him and is revived. And Elijah takes him downstairs. What must that have been like? Can you imagine carrying this dead body upstairs? All of a sudden coming back downstairs, this little guy jumping up and down. And I can't even imagine. Again, what must mom have thought? He's revived. Takes him downstairs. And he presents him back to his mother alive. Wow. She's now convinced, as we see in the last part of this chapter, verse 24, that he is a man of God. And you know what? Our works, our obedience, our walking in obedience to God's word is evidence whether or not we are men and women of God. God wants us to obey and to step out by faith, just like he did and just like she did when she took that last bit of flour and oil and made that one cake for Elijah. We need to step out by faith, trusting God that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever think or ask. And now she's convinced, it says, he's a man of God and that God's word is true. Wow. Just by his testimony. It wasn't by his preaching at her. It was by his works, obedience to God. And a closing reminder, right on time. Wow. In the most difficult of life's challenges, God's there. Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. As a matter of fact, that's what gets us through as Christians. That's what keeps us from doing what the world does, flipping out, getting drunk, doing drugs, all this stuff. No, we know when difficult times come, God is there with us. He promised in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you even to the end of the age. God is with you. And that's the number one thing that should cross our minds and our hearts when we face these difficult times, life's challenges, God is there. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Number two, we can also take to the bank, we are also guaranteed that God hears our cries. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God hears your cries when you cry out? I believe that with all of my heart. I remember little babies in our house when our kids were little babies in the crib in the next room. Tina would hear every peep, and she'd be in there, boom, every little peep from that little baby. You know what? God hears better than the moms do with their little babies. You're a child of God. God hears our cries. He's acquainted with your grief and sorrow. He has every one of your tears in a bottle. Thirdly, God's word is truth. And that's why over and over and over you hear Pastor Joe like a broken record, get into the word, get into the word, get into the word. Why? Because we need to hold on to the truth of God's word like never before in the times in which we live. Why? Because if you're not holding on to God's word and have a good solid foundation rooted and grounded in his word, when the storm comes and the winds blow, you're going to get blown away. You need to get rooted and grounded in God's word like never before. Hold on to it. And as we see here in closing, Elijah is the man of God. You are men and women of God. And God wants to use you as well to minister out there to hurting people, people going through difficulties in their lives, facing life's challenges. God wants to use you to be the person as Elijah. You may not prophesy, but God wants to use you to minister to those outside of the church, believers, unbelievers, make believers. God wants you to minister to them. So follow God, follow his word, and he too will use you like never before. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this wonderful example of Elijah with this precious Gentile widow and her son. And God, you are awesome. You are God. There's none beside you. You're a God of love. And we are to be just like you. We are of the family of God. We're children of God. And we too should be showing evidence within our lives of the love of God. Would you do that, please? It's not all about verbiage. It's not all about just quoting scripture. It's about walking in obedience to your word and loving those that you bring our way. Would you help us to do that? Thank you for challenging me this week, Lord. Get me back on track on what it's all about to be a man of God, to be a minister of God, to be a child of God. Lord, I pray that you would work through me and through my brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight like never before, reaching a lost world with the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Would you do that, please, in Jesus' name? Amen.